This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
All right, everybody, count with me here. How many of these do you have? Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, YouTube TV, HBO Now, HBO Go, HBO who knows what else. We could go on and on and on. And now Apple is joining the streaming video business, and so is Disney. I'm even thinking of starting streaming Tanzina TV. Just kidding. For now. So to get to the content you want, well, you might be overloaded on subscriptions. And as some of our listeners told us, those costs can add up.
Hi, this is Laura from San Rafael, California. We have Netflix, Apple TV, Hulu, and Xfinity, and we still can't find all our shows for free.
Hey, Takeaway, this is Max from Stoughton. We allow ourselves a few streaming services, but find the return on investment gets less and less the more you purchase.
A recent survey on digital media trends by Deloitte found that nearly half of the people who subscribe to streaming services say they're frustrated by the ever-growing number of subscriptions they're paying for. Subscription fatigue is what our next guest calls it. Jeff Laux is the executive director for Deloitte Center for Technology, Media, and Telecom and one of the authors of the new study. And he started off by telling me the average number of streaming services people in the U.S. are subscribed to.
When it comes just to video subscriptions, they have an average of 3. But what we found in our survey is that people aren't just subscribing to video services. They're also subscribing to gaming and music, and they're piecing it all together. And this is giving them unprecedented freedom to choose for themselves what they watch, the music they listen to, and the games that they play.
So that doesn't sound like a negative thing, but your research has found that there were some complaints that people had about these streaming services.
Well, what they love is the freedom to choose among these different services. And in fact, there are 300 streaming video services alone to choose from. So they like having the choice. The problem is managing all these subscriptions in the hassles of finding what they want to watch or what they want to listen to. And just juggling all of it. That's the part that they don't like, but they love the freedom.
When I think about cable and I think about premium channels like HBO and Showtime and all these channels that we that then seem to multiply, then there was ESPN, ESPN2 and beyond. Is that what's happening with digital streaming services?
In a way, yes. The difference with cable was that everything was under one subscription. So all these different channels would pop up. But then you had a single subscription. The difference is that as these new offerings came on board, you were paying more and more for your cable subscription. But here's the difference now. A lot of times people are subscribing to a new service because it's a show or a movie or something that they can't get anywhere else. We found that 57% of those who subscribe to a streaming service, they picked a service because they wanted to watch something that they couldn't get anywhere else. But what's happening now is that there are lots of separate services that people are subscribing to get to this content that they really like, instead of it being under one big subscription. And that is the source of a lot of the discontent right now.
Well, and then I'm wondering, I'm sure there are other Americans who are like me who might do that thing. They might subscribe to a service because they really want to see that one particular show and then forget that they're subscribed and then just keep paying for that service. Does that happen? Is that part of the frustration?
That is part of the frustration. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, having a subscription for a limited reason, right? You want it for a particular show or set of shows, and then maybe the back catalog that you valued, there's less and less on it. So, for example, a couple of years ago, if you subscribed to a streaming service, there were a lot of different shows and movies that were in the back catalog. But now, a lot of studios and networks are going forward with their own services, and they're pulling the rights to that content from the services. So you might have a streaming subscription that used to cover lots of different shows and movies that you liked, and as the months and years go by, there's less and less, and the shows and movies are now moving to other subscription services. So to get those now, you've got to have a whole new subscription. And that is definitely a source of frustration.
So what's happening? Are people, because people now have to follow the content, essentially, are they canceling their subscriptions because of those frustrations?
They're not canceling right now. But what we have found is that, you know, again, if you have a streaming subscription, you likely have about 3 of them. That was the same as last year. So what we're wondering is, as these new subscription services multiply, are they going to sign up for more? Or is it going to be, you know, people are going to have their top three, maybe four, and then there's a lot of competition to get into those three or four slots.
Part of what's happening, too, is, as you said, people are chasing the show, right? So they're interested in that episode or that particular program or that star. And it's really splitting the experience for a lot of people. Like, I will make an admission here, I'm sure as half of the world has, that I have not watched Game of Thrones, but I do feel like I've lost something in that process. Are we losing something culturally because of all of these streaming services and the content available on them?
Well, that's one perspective. You know, if you don't sign up for a particular service, and you're missing a big cultural phenomenon, you may feel like you're missing out. But I think what's driving a lot of streaming right now is that people have a fear of missing out, and that's why they're getting so many subscription services. You know, they want to watch a particular thing on this service and that service and the other service so they don't miss out when people are talking about it at the bar or at the water cooler. And the question is, how many of these are they willing to have in order to kind of see these must-see TV shows that used to be under one big bundle?
What's interesting is that someone suggested, well, why don't, you know, if you can't figure out which streaming service it's on, why not just Google the name of the show? And I thought, well, that's extra work for me, right? Shouldn't I just be able to know where the show is?
It is extra work, and it's one of those things that is causing a lot of friction for consumers. You know, why should I have to manage this when I'm paying for all of it? But what I think may end up happening soon is that there may be more people using voice assistants in order to keep track of this. You're seeing some early adopters doing this now where they might have, you know, a streaming service attached to a voice assistant. And they may be able to say, hey, assistant, you know, find me Game of Thrones or what have you. And then it will come up.
In order to create content, companies, they have to put money behind it. And I'm wondering if that means subscribers are going to end up paying more. It's not cheap to create television, to create shows.
That's right. You know, when you start spending billions or, you know, tens of billions of dollars in content, eventually you're going to have to raise your prices. And I think you're starting to see that as well. One thing that we are going to see more of is ad-supported streaming, where you don't have to sign up and it doesn't cost you X dollars a month, but you're trading your attention for the content sitting through ads. So that I think we're going to see more of.
Kind of what we're doing on YouTube, for example.
Exactly.
Jeff Laux is the executive director for Deloitte's Center for Technology, Media, and Telecom. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hi, my name is Cheyenne. I'm calling from near Allentown in Pennsylvania. There are definitely certain TV series that really tempt me to expand our streaming services, but practically speaking, I don't really have the time to devote to watching much television to begin with. So currently we just have Netflix, and we pay about $13 a month for it, so it's a really modest cost. Of course, in addition to what I consider to be outrageous costs for a cable bill.
This is Lisa Henley. I'm calling from Fort Worth, Texas. I subscribe to Amazon and I use a family member's Netflix account, but I'm going to have to add Hulu in the next couple of weeks in order to watch the Veronica Mars reboot.